Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President-elect Trump has offered the Treasury Secretary job to billionaire Scott Bessent. Multiple sources are telling ABC News Bessent has advised Trump on economic policy and has been a frequent presence at Trump's Mar-a-Lago Club this week and last week. A New York judge overseeing the hush money trial of Donald Trump has delayed the November 26 sentencing date indefinitely. ABC's Aaron Katursky says his attorneys are now pushing to get the 34 felony convictions thrown out.
This formalizes it. Notably, the judge did not set a new date for sentencing. Instead, he's going to allow Trump to file a motion to try to dismiss the case outright. Prosecutors are going to fight that. He told them the motion's got to be in by December 2nd. Prosecutors must respond by December 9th.
The Northeast getting some much-needed rain and snow. In Pennsylvania, the sounds of snowblowers in Lackawanna County today. That region has been dealing with drought conditions, raising the risk of fires. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Well, our snow didn't stick around. That's kind of what we expected, though. If you were out driving around yesterday, especially while it was snowing, you could see people really trying to get their sea legs back and figure out that winter driving again. Our next chance for some snow, probably some rain too, is Monday. And the language is changing this year around winter weather. The National Weather Service is using some new terminology. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The NWS took away the wind chill advisories, watches, and warnings, and are now switching over to cold weather alerts. For example, wind chill watches will now be called an extreme cold watch, while what was once known as wind chill warnings will now go by extreme cold warnings. Matt Friedline at the National Weather Service says,
because what would happen in the structure that we had been in was you could have the winds usher in the cold air in, say, January, and the wind chill headlines are out, but then the winds end, but then some of the coldest temperatures happen in the wake of that, and there'd be no headlines from us in the Weather Service. So even though it would still be dangerous out, cold is cold is the approach here and the simplification.
And this week is Winter Weather Awareness Week, which is a good time to know where all of your cold and snowy gear is. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
A Wisconsin resort has been named one of the best in the country for cross-country skiing. Every year, USA Today puts out the Reader's Choice Awards, naming the top 10 of all kinds of things. And in the cross-country skiing category, Minocqua Winter Park ranked number 4. It's got more than 50 miles of trails for people of all skill levels. Another local favorite took second place, although technically not in Wisconsin. Lots of our skiers here enjoy it. ABR Trails in Ironwood, Michigan is just barely over the border in the Upper Peninsula. You can find more on our website, WMDXradio.com. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is 92.7 WMDX News.
The Packers missing some players. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers host the 49ers at Lambeau Field, but head coach Matt LaFleur says they'll likely be without two of their best defensive starters. Cornerback Jaire Alexander has a torn PCL, suffered 3 weeks ago in Jacksonville. Then at Wednesday's practice, rookie linebacker Edgerrin Cooper pulled a hamstring.
Did not practice with Jaire and Edgerrin Cooper.
Any concern about Sunday for him?
Yes.
Kickoff at 3:25. College football, Wisconsin heads to Nebraska to play the Cornhuskers at Memorial Stadium. Game time tomorrow, 2:30. Nebraska, 1.5-point favorites. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Pacers tonight in Milwaukee.
Okay, we have an incredible team coming in. Indiana beat us, I think, 4 or 5 times last year. No. Way more. 7 times, 7, 8 times. We got to play defense. We got to move the ball. They want to play fast. We got to sprint back. We got to take guys serious. But we're trending towards the right direction right now, so I'm happy.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, early clouds give way to partial sunshine in the afternoon and a high in the low 40s. Mostly cloudy and a high in the upper 40s on Sunday, a chance of rain into Monday. Currently 40 degrees.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I'll come back from a concert with my kid or a dinner with my husband, and I'll think, man, it would be nice to find something to do that doesn't cost so gosh darn much. Today, I have a tip for something to fill your time and your heart, but not drain your wallet. Volunteering. Now hear me out. There's been a lot of research on this. It shows that volunteering can help you feel less stressed, less down, less worried. You can do it with your church or food bank. You can look for events that align with your interests. We love a Ren Fair and a beer festival over here. Volunteering can build social connections. It helps people feel less lonely, and that can keep you healthier and living longer. And when you volunteer, your brain releases all these great chemicals like serotonin or dopamine, things that just make you feel good. For more feel-good money tips, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap all the weekend's news, and we'll be joined by Dr. Kristen Lierley in hour number two. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11. This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, everybody. It is Friday night in the great state of Wisconsin, and it is great to have you with me tonight. We have a great show planned for this evening. Conrad is riding shotgun, ready to take your calls and texts. We've got so much to get to. We've got three guests. This is the weekend before Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen, and it is a fun weekend. It kicks off the entire holiday season. It's just it's a great weekend. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. You know, even better that I found out that Brock Purdy and Nick Bosa aren't playing this week against the Packers.
Really? You go right to the Packers in the first minute of the show. You've already got Packers on the brain.
It's all I can think about.
That's all you can think about anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so what's up with Brock Purdy? Let's get this out of the way so Packer fans can rest easy. What's happening?
Well, all right. So if you don't know who his backup is, his backup is Brandon Allen.
I barely know who Brock Purdy is.
Is he still Mr. Irrelevant to you?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, he's pretty good. He's turned out to be a pretty good player, right?
Definitely. Yeah. You know, it makes it better that he has a really good offense.
Right. And a good coach.
Yes. He's out with a shoulder injury.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Got a shoulder.
Brandon Allen, if you know who that is. I did not.
Listen, knowing the San Francisco 49ers' luck with quarterbacks, he will probably be the next Tom Brady, guy. And then they'll trade Purdy for a number one pick. They are the luckiest franchise. They gave up, I think, three number one picks for Trey Lance.
Yeah.
He ends up sucking, like, in the first five games, and he goes down with an injury. And somehow they back into this Pro Bowl quarterback in Brock Purdy. After mortgaging their future, I have no sympathy for the San Francisco
49ers. No, definitely none not. Whatsoever.
So what's Bosa's out too? That helps, right?
Yeah, that really helps. We have two defensive players out this week, but I'm more okay with it. Them getting, you know, the recovery time because I don't know how Brandon Allen's gonna play. So I'm okay with them being hurt this week. And
when you say you don't know if he's going to play, meaning if he'll be good or if he'll actually get in the game. I thought he was playing.
I'm saying I don't know how he's going to play.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. All right. That makes sense. Well, and they're coming to Lambeau. That's always good for the warmer weather teams, although San Francisco's not that warm. But that's got to be an advantage, too. So,
yeah.
Once again, your Packers catch a break. I'm very happy for you. Hey, what did you think? All right, let's just go back, revisit, then we'll put this to bed. The Packer Bear game, the field goal. I don't know if a ruling has come down yet, but the leverage thing, the Bears challenged it, sent it into the league office. What did you see? Like, as a fan, try to be unbiased. Was there leverage there? Like, I feel like there might have been a little bit, but it's sort of like a pass interference call where you kind of, it's like incidental contact. You know what I mean?
With you know, I'm not too familiar with leverage because you don't see it that much in the NFL.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure it's like if you touch the helmet of the long snapper or something like that.
Yes.
And I'll say it looked like incidental contact, maybe. Okay. But, you know, I think last week that the Chiefs kind of did the same thing or something like that. I don't know. I
didn't get called for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean,
all right.
I think, you know, they should send it in like that to make these refs more aware of it because it doesn't happen in a lot. So I think it's a good thing that they sent it.
It's a pretty diplomatic answer. I'll accept it. Yeah, I agree with you. Make them do their job. Keep them honest. Keep them out of the playoffs if they're bad officials. But
yes.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, you have to have the best officiating possible during the playoffs. All right. We have put to bed. All right. The Packers have an advantage going into the weekend, going into the weekend before Thanksgiving. So that's good for you, Packer fans. I'm happy for you guys. But, you know, it's not a guarantee. Like I said, this guy could come in and be the best quarterback since sliced bread, you know. I just said spliced bread. I used a film term.
Like you just called term. Like you called me Karen today.
Listen, Todd is the worst. His voice to text messages. I get a message from him. It's like 418 years ago. Good luck on your show tonight. Here's a pair of old socks. What? So you at least knew who I was talking about because there was a K in a.
It was funny though.
Yeah. All right, so we got a great show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. A young filmmaker. Actually, I don't know how young he is. I thought Daniel Wheeler was young when we had him on the show last week, and then he showed up, and he's probably in his 50s. But his like Facebook picture, he looked like he just graduated college. I don't know how he pulled that off. But Cole Sheldon is a Wisconsin-based, and more specifically, a Sheboygan-based filmmaker. He's on the show tonight. We're going to talk about a film he did called Spark Plug. And he's got a new film coming out, too. And this is Cole's first time on the show. I like to familiarize myself with local filmmakers because there's so many of them and there's so many talented ones. And eventually one of them's going to hit it big and then they'll always come back to Nightlight. So there you go. So Cole's on the show at 6:35. Looking forward to that. Lisa Hale drops by at 7:05. Lisa covers news for Northeast Wisconsin and is the host of New Wisco Weekend. Here on WGBW and WISS every weekend, Saturday and Sunday. It's a great show, kind of a news magazine show. She keeps you up to date with what's happening in Northeast Wisconsin, stories of interest, people of interest. So Lisa will be along at 7:05 to give us a preview, and we'll talk to her a little bit about what she's watching when it comes to color television. And then Terry Barr. It is a bar band Friday night, Conrad. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. I look forward to it every Friday.
Every Friday. Terry brings great music. She's going to be here at 7:35 tonight with, did you hear the songs? I really liked them.
Yeah. The second one, I wasn't expecting some of those lyrics, but I think it's great still.
I agree. I was like, I love that she brings two artists now every week. It's so much fun. So Terry will be along at 7:35. Terry hosts Max Inc. Radio here on the network. Saturday nights from 6 p.m. to midnight. Check it out if you haven't yet. It's a great show, great music, and great discussion about music. This is exciting. This, as far as days of the year go, we follow the days of the year calendar. This week has been National Educators Week or National Education Week? I got to scroll back here. Yeah, it's American Education Week. So we haven't touched on this yet. My wife is a teacher. I know a lot of teachers. I'm sure everybody knows a lot of teachers. So, Conrad, are you ready for our question of the night?
Here we go.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Always wanted to say it like that. Question. Question. Our question tonight, ladies and gentlemen, who is or was your favorite teacher in honor of National Education Week? You can share a name going back to kindergarten, high school, college. If you're in adult education right now, you can share the name of your favorite teacher. Let's celebrate teachers a little bit. They spark creative juices in all of us. I've had some phenomenal teachers. I was an English major in college, and I had some great teachers. I had great teachers in high school. My first grade teacher, Mrs. Keene, I still kind of have a crush on. First grade, Conrad, that's pretty early. That's my first crush, I think.
So she's got to be what, up there now, huh?
Wow, she's probably looking at low 70s, maybe. But I, you know, she, maybe her marriage didn't work out. I don't know. I might still have a chance. I hope she is wonderful wherever she is, because she was just such a phenomenal teacher. And that's who I'll say. I could say a host of teachers. My kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Patterson, at Portage Park Elementary School in Chicago was a character. I had great teachers at Marinette Catholic Central High School here in Marinette. And I had great college professors too. So, but give me a name. And if you want to share why they were such a great teacher, that would be fantastic too. Let's go positive with teachers tonight. Let's celebrate this profession that, frankly, and I can just say this because of my experiences with my wife, their benefits. It used to be when you were a teacher, you had summers off and good benefits, knowing you weren't going to make a ton of money. And they cap you off at a certain amount. But now you don't even, they don't even have the benefits anymore. And there are still people going into the teaching industry. They know they're not going to get rich. They know the benefits aren't even that great anymore. And they still want to become teachers. That says a lot about a person to me. And I love teachers. And I'm not just saying that because my wife is one. But our question of the night, who is your favorite teacher? And share why if you want, or you could just share a name. Either way, let's celebrate people who educate us and our kids. Conrad, do you have a favorite teacher?
Yeah, I got two, actually. I have one that was my high school science teacher.
Okay.
He just had really fun ways of teaching, and it kept me engaged because I wasn't a big fan of the sciences.
Really? And,
well, I mean, my favorite was, like, you know, gym, so in high school. So.
The physical education sciences.
I mean, he would, like, go on top of, like, his desk and try to teach. It was, he was.
Oh, like, he pulled, like, a Dead Poets Society?
I guess, yeah, kind of.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, he was a fun teacher. And then I'd say my first professor in college, when I was, my first business class, I didn't, you know, they tell you in high school, like, oh, you're going to have to know this or whatever, you know, to be prepared for college.
Sure.
He kind of like immediately just threw all that stuff out the window.
You weren't prepared for college?
I felt like I was more like I was worried about what, you know, teachers would say before, but like he would swear like every 5 seconds. And I just thought it was funny.
Isn't that crazy? And I love teachers that just had the guts to do that. And we're like, I don't care. And they win you over immediately.
Yeah.
And a lot of time it's not just for shock. It's like, hey, this is what I really feel. This is who I am. I want you to know me. Now listen to me. It's great. Yeah. So what was that guy's name?
I don't even remember.
I didn't like him that much, Pete.
I had so many professors. It's hard to remember the names, but I remember the experience of being in his class.
I remember that too. I had a professor at DePaul University who was a priest, and here I am making fun of you. I cannot remember his name off the top of my head, but he said the word dude all the time, and he wore turtlenecks, and he had like Birkenstocks on. Like, he was not your typical priest. And he was so much fun too. I had great philosophy professors.
Yeah.
A great teacher is just someone who makes you think and question things and think critically. And that's what we're talking about here tonight, folks. That is our question of the night. Who is your favorite teacher? And if you are so inclined, please tell us why at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Great show tonight. We're going to read your text when we come back. We're going to talk about a movie Conrad saw from one of our guests the other night. That'll be fun. And then we got a whole bunch of fun guests to get to tonight. You're here on a great night, and it's great to have you. This is a Friday night edition of Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
So, Jim from Appleton says, Warren Shutnick, my favorite teacher. He was my high school current cultural anthropology teacher. Wow, that's a mouthful. And gave everyone in the class time to talk, learn, and grow. That's a great text, Jim. Thank you. And it's a great name for a teacher, too, Warren Shutnick. I'm sure he took a little bit of abuse because of his name. You know how high school kids can be. Not that I would ever do something like that. And then Llama from Madison says, Mrs. Stewart, she helped behavior problem kids and used clown training to motivate us. She loved dill pickles. I love that. I had some, when I was in Catholic school in Chicago, I had a teacher who told an entire class of fourth graders, she used to keep a $5 bill in her bra just in case, and then said they'd have to be pretty fresh to get in there. And we, you know, it was like right out of The Simpsons or Family Guy or something. Every kid was just like wide-eyed, like, sure, we're supposed to be hearing this. I'm not sure you can say bra in a public school or in a Catholic school, but she was a riot. That's a really good one. I love it. And she loved dill pickles. It's so funny, those things we remember too, these little idiosyncrasies about people who affected us. Keith from the 480 says, third grade, I hope I'm saying this right, Keith, Fraulein Magrar. I don't know if that's the name of the school or the teacher, in Amory, Wisconsin. But that was Keith's favorite teacher. And then Keith says 1974. And then from the 740, Mrs. Starkey for first grade at East Elementary, then mother too. My dumb 7-year-old ass didn't even realize she was pregnant until she disappeared for 2 months. Keith, how are you supposed to know that? I'm sorry, that's not Keith. That's 740. Honestly, as a kid, how are you supposed to know that? Don't beat yourself up for that, buddy. He says, Cub Scouts for the den mother thing. I had a den mother, Mrs. Hoffman, loved her. Except it was kind of funny. Her husband, like, worked nights, I think, like in a foundry on the northwest side of Chicago or something. And he would just come out of the bedroom in his underpants and go to the bathroom and then go back to bed. And I'm just like you'd never do that nowadays. But back then, it was just like what people did, you know? Like wearing a bathing suit. No big deal. Jameson from the 814 says, Sam Beitelman, English and journalism. Freshman year final was to choose a controversial topic you felt passionate about. Then he made us write the final advocating for the other side. To truly make an argument, the best way is to fully understand the reasons others disagree. Wow, that is very well said, Jameson. And that's the sign of a great teacher. I agree. Teach kids to think critically. He gave us wisdom and so many skills I use 30 years later. Wonderful educator. Well, he raised an outstanding texter, Jameson. So thank you very much for that. And thank you, Sam Beitelman. From the 818, Bridget says, Mrs. Evans, my third grade teacher. She used to accidentally call me by my older sister's name. She decided to put away a nickel every time she did that. At the end of the school year, she took me to a restaurant where all the teachers ate for lunch. I felt special. She made me feel important. I loved that school year. What a great story. That's outstanding. Thank you, Bridget. I wonder how much money, how many nickels that is, really. Wow, great text so far. Folks, feel free to share who your favorite teacher was and why. It's National Education Week, and we are celebrating teachers tonight. That is the question. And you can text us on the stream. You can use the app or just go old school on the text line at 855-752-4842. We got a lot of texts. We'll get to all of them. At 6:35, filmmaker Cole Sheldon will be here. He is a Sheboygan-based filmmaker. Not every filmmaker lives in New York or LA or even Chicago. So we've got plenty of really good filmmakers, especially here in Northeast Wisconsin. So Cole will be along at 6:35. At 7:05, Lisa Hale, the host of A New Wisco Weekend, will be here. And it's a bar band Friday night. So 7:35, we'll see Terry Bell joining us with some great new music. Great to have you with me on this Friday night. Conrad, this is kind of cool. Conrad went the extra mile the other night.
Yes.
We had a guest named Jared Crooks. He made a film called The Big Gift, and it was a independent film that Jared shot for less than $10,000. And I commented and I said the trailer looked fantastic, that I couldn't wait to see the film. I could not believe what he was able to do just to cut together a really good trailer. It reminded me of Red One, the very big budget studio film with The Rock and Chris Evans. So after the interview, Conrad went home that night. And what did you do, Conrad?
Well, before I left the studio, I was like, all right, I got to watch this trailer. And the same thing. I was like, wow, this looks great for an independent film. They had some great shots in that trailer. So I was like, all right, well, I got Tubi. Everyone's got Tubi. So I went home. Yeah, I watched it. And I thought it was a lot of fun. You know, I think, like I just said, great shots in that film. And I wasn't expecting it. You know, you don't know what to expect from an independent film.
Correct.
And yeah, it was great fun. I really liked the actors in it. The buff Santa was hilarious.
There were fight scenes with Santa, right? Jared's character fights Santa Claus, gives him a roundhouse. Jared obviously has had some martial arts training in his life. And
he fights really elves funny. Too. Yeah. And it's all because he wants to put his name on the big gift, because in the opening he loses his job, and the reason is hilarious. You got to watch it for why. And his son really wants, I forget what it's called, but it's a dinosaur that's $350.
Oh my gosh.
So he gets it, and he's like, Santa's not getting the credit this time. And Santa doesn't like that.
That's so great. It's a great premise.
Yes.
Vindictive, petty Santa.
Who
likes to fist fight people.
It's
awesome.
They're actually in a boxing ring. And I was like, this is already better than the Jake Paul fights.
Right. Less buffering. That's pretty cool. So overall, 4 stars, 3 stars?
Out of 5 stars, I gave it 4.5.
Nice work, dude. Especially for the money, it sounds like. I love to see that. A guy who, all independent filmmakers have to be resourceful and do whatever they can to make the film look like it's a much bigger budget film. But it sounds like Jared crushed it. So I can't wait to check that out as well. I cannot see Glicked tonight because the local theater here does not have a showing past 7:30 of Gladiator.
Wow.
So I'm not going to cut out early on people and go see Gladiator 2 or Wicked. Means I'll have to squeeze both in this weekend somehow. All right, when we come back, speaking of filmmaking and independent filmmaking, Cole Sheldon joins us. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. An update now on that bizarre story about a Wisconsin kayaker police say faked his own death. Well, now law enforcement is in this weird position where they're practically begging him to come home to his family. Authorities say 45-year-old Ryan Borgwar of Watertown staged a scene with his kayak at Green Lake back in August to make it look like he had drowned. Officials searched for him for 6 weeks. Green Lake County Sheriff Mark Podal.
He didn't expect us to go more than 2 weeks in searching for him. Well, I hate to tell you, he picked the wrong sheriff and the wrong department.
Then they learned his passport had been checked in Canada just a day or two after he disappeared. He had bought a new life insurance policy earlier this year and had a relationship with a woman in Uzbekistan. Now the sheriff says they've spoken with him. He's sent them a video to prove he's alive and okay. They believe he's somewhere in Eastern Europe. They just haven't figured out where. But he also told authorities about how he staged the scene and escaped. He researched the deepest lake in the state, found out it's Green Lake. He hid an e-bike nearby and then took a kid-sized inflatable boat into the middle of the lake to leave his kayak and dropped his phone into the water. He got back to shore on that kiddie raft. He hopped on the e-bike, got to Madison, took a bus to Detroit, and then went through the Canadian border. The sheriff said now their main focus is trying to convince him to come home. He even got choked up during the press conference.
Christmas is coming. And what better gift you could give his kids is to be there for Christmas with him.
Through all these conversations with Borgwar, the sheriff says they still don't really have a clear answer of why he did this. He would likely face charges if he came home. The sheriff said he could be charged with obstruction of justice and could be ordered to pay back the $40,000 to $50,000 spent searching for him. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Glicked's weekend is here, and Wicked and Gladiator have high hopes for a box office splash. Wicked is expected to be the box office winner, with Universal Studios hoping for a $100 to $110 million opener. Paramount is hoping Gladiator 2 pulls in about $65 million, which would be a healthy start for a film that cost $250 million to make. Even those healthy estimates would have this twosome fall short of Barbenheimer's opening weekend, which pulled in $235 million a year and a half ago. Actress Rosemarie DeWitt recently appeared on the Drew Barrymore Show and said her husband, Ron Livingston, was so despised for his role as Jack Berger on Sex and the City that he couldn't even walk in New York City without rabid fans yelling and screaming at him. Ironically, when Livingston wanders through an office, he gets constant reminders about his TPS reports. Guy can't catch a break. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, early clouds give way to partial sunshine in the afternoon and a high in the low 40s. Mostly cloudy and a high in the upper 40s on Sunday, a chance of rain into Monday. Currently 40 degrees.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road. Plus, IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us on Monday. We'll take a look back at what made news over the weekend and get you ready for Thanksgiving week. Tourist travel tips. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
John in West Dallas comes to us on the text line and says, you sound like a great Catholic. I'm a Jew. And then he just kind of trails off with an ellipsis. So I think John and I are bonding over all the guilt our religions have brought us, I'm guessing. Good to hear from you, John. Good to hear from all of you. Keep those texts coming. Who is your favorite teacher and why? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can text us on the app or on the stream. However you are finding us, just find us and be part of the show. We love it. Coming up at 7:05, Lisa Hale. She is the host of New Wisco Weekend, and she's going to tell us what is on tap for this weekend on her really cool Northeast Wisconsin magazine show that you can check out here at WGBW and WISS on Saturdays and Sundays. And then, of course, it is a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr will be along at 7:35 with some fantastic music like she always is. Terry is so much fun to talk to, so stick around for that. Right now, we turn our attentions to local filmmakings. And one of our local filmmakers, who is a Wisconsin native and more specifically a Sheboygan native, Cole Sheldon, has a nice little string of credits he has built up in the independent film world. And he is making a name for himself, and he joins us now on Nightlight. How you doing, Cole?
Good, Pete. How we doing?
Good. I swear to God, I've interviewed you at some point before, and you're saying no.
No. We met at the Wisconsin Film Festival. I do remember that.
Yes. So. Okay. But I did not interview. It was part of a Q&A, maybe?
I believe so.
Okay. All right. I was losing my mind. Either way, it's great to have you on the show, buddy. How you doing tonight?
Good. We're doing great. Staying busy, but it's a good busy, so.
So, all right, what is it like? You're in Sheboygan. When people think of a filmmaker or a writer director, they typically think LA, New York, Chicago. They don't realize there is a burgeoning film community here in Wisconsin. How difficult is it to do what you're doing from Sheboygan, if it is difficult at all?
It's tough. It's a hard road to get your stuff made out here. You know, we could go down the rabbit hole on tax incentives and all that as well. You know, there's sure. a big push for that here, but it's difficult to get your things made here. And part of that is because there is such a blooming community of filmmakers here too. So there's not a lot of resources, and there's plenty of people who are making good quality stuff. So we're all kind of bumping shoulders trying to get our projects made, but it's difficult to get things off the ground once it's running, once you're rolling. I mean, it's just artists making art. At that point, you really don't have to worry about it. So as long as you can get yourself in a position to make something, you know, it might sure. not be a super large budget, but as long as you're out there creating, we're turning out some good stuff here.
So what is the community like, would you say, in your experience, Cole? Is it very collaborative? Do people help each other out? Is it competitive? Do you find people that aren't as helpful, or do you find it to be a, you know, sort of a supportive community?
I think there's a little bit of both. Healthy competition is not necessarily a bad thing. I always look at it when I see other people's work, and I'm a competitive person. I'm a sports guy. I was raised that way. I just use it as a stepping stone for raising my bar. I'm like, wow, okay, that was a great piece that, you know, XYZ filmmaker put out. I've really got to up my game on the next one. I'm going to look into some of the resources they use. Maybe I can pull some of those people over to my project. But in that same breath, in that competition, there is a lot of collaboration. Everybody's really willing to help everybody. There's a lot of, and you know, it's a blooming community, but it's small. So you get to know people really quickly. And as long as you're willing to put in the work and help lift up other people, everybody's down to help you out as well.
All right. So you said you have sports in your background. And I think I even saw skateboarding in your mm-hmm. bio. What led you to filmmaking? I mean, what in your past, did you have a moment where you said, I'm going to be a filmmaker. I saw this, it was inspiring, or I have this idea, I have to get it made. What was it for you that made you go down this path?
So I look back and there are plenty of films that I look back on now, and they've imprinted on my style of storytelling and the way that I approach making movies. A lot of the family fantasies, the 90s, you know, anything from Chris Columbus, Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, that pretty generic answer for somebody my age, but I never saw filmmaking as an option. I never saw it as a path to a career. I never even thought of it as, it was so distant. It was LA, like you were saying. It just felt like this fantasy world that nobody ever touched. I originally was going to school with a botany focus. I wanted to be an environmental landscaper. And then I failed my first college botany class and quickly had to kind of reevaluate where I was going with my life. And I sat down and I thought, you know, like, what do I really enjoy? I'm a sports guy. I like football. I like hockey. I like all these other sports. And skateboarding, I had a crew of people that I was friends with, and they were all getting really good and I wasn't getting any better. So I had to find a way to stick with the crew and kind of became the de facto film guy. And I thought at that point, maybe I could marry those two. Maybe I could take the love of making video, which was really fun and it was a great hobby. I thought maybe I'd go work for ESPN or you know, shoot Packer games and work for CBS or Fox or whoever it is. When I found a school and started really diving deep into that, I realized that kind of work really wasn't for me. I wouldn't have enjoyed that. I liked storytelling. Then I look back on some of those old skate videos and they had a narrative to them. And I've always been a talker and a storyteller. And it just, once it finally clicked for me, it all really made sense that telling stories one way or the other is the way that I should be going.
That's great. You said you know, our question tonight is, do you have a favorite teacher or someone who inspired you? Did you find someone along the way that kind of gave you the confidence to pursue what you wanted to do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I can link back to every single professor I had at Madison Media Institute, Nella Citino, Ray Ibsen, Will Nimmo. There's so many that I'm forgetting. Josh Ose, Nancy Stillwell. There's an amazing group of people there that they were all working professionals and chose to teach on top of their work life and built a really solid solid class of people that they were pushing out into the industry. And they were all so good at stoking the flames for each one of us, whether you wanted to go the film route, whether you wanted to do sports videography, whether you wanted to be, you know, a camera guy at your local news station. They knew how to put you on the path to success and really set you up to succeed come graduation.
So in your bio, I saw the film Spark Plug as one of your credits, Cole. I know I've heard of that somewhere, maybe at a festival or something. Where would I have seen that at the Wisconsin Film Festival? Is that what were showing?
Yeah, we premiered at Wisconsin this year.
Okay.
So we shot back in October of 23. And then it was a very quick turnaround in post. It was a relatively straightforward story, but we still turned it around pretty quick to hit some of those deadlines like Wisconsin that have an earlier, you know, December, January-ish final deadline, and premiered at Wisconsin in April. And it had a really fantastic festival run. I think we played at 26 or 27 festivals internationally.
Wow.
Did really well locally, really well received. It was picked up on Film Shortage as a platform that promotes short films from indie filmmakers, and they took it and they were partnered with us for the release. So it's officially online now. Festival run is over. I think we're still waiting on maybe a few yes or no's, but for the most part, that's it's finally done and behind me, which is awesome and sad at the same time.
Yeah, you got to let it go eventually. But Cole, talk about, if you would, Film Shortage. Where can people, you know, I've had so many filmmakers on the show who have done short films. When I do Q&As at the Wisconsin Film Festival, I see so many incredibly great short films. Where can people catch this platform? Because, you know, the other thing is too, like, sometimes people don't have time to sit down and watch an entire feature film, but they can watch a short that's 5 minutes long or 25 minutes long. Where can people see some of these short films, and yours included?
So Film Shortage is just one platform that gives, you know, voices to these independent filmmakers who just need a little bit more of a boost. There's so many different ones online. Sparkplug's going to be featured on Momitu, I think is how you pronounce it. I'd have to look that up, but that's another, it's a free streaming service online that just promotes independent film and finds filmmakers that they find interesting and want to put their stuff on their platform. I don't think any of these are listed on your major televisions for an app you can download quite yet. So you'd have to find them on the internet, but it's the same as submitting to any film festival that you'd see. Just putting your work out there, and eventually one of these will stick. There's so many options out there for people to get their work seen. And film is so subjective that you got to try to spread your net as wide as you can to make sure people are seeing your stuff.
My guest is Cole Sheldon. He is a Wisconsin-based, Sheboygan-based filmmaker who is making short films. And do you have a feature in the works, Cole? Is that something you want to tackle at some point?
Down the line, eventually. I've been in the process of writing two or three of them. trying to write within my means, write what I know. But you know, you never know what story is going to inspire you. There's a Western that I've been working on for 3 or 4 years now that would be a very lofty budget. It would take quite a bit to make that film. There's another one that is focused on a hockey player that's dealing with head trauma and concussions and working through that, which is a little bit more of a personal story for me. So there's all sorts of options down the line as the resources grow and as I become more confident in my storytelling. But in the short term, it's putting out, you know, high quality short films that can showcase what I can do as a storyteller.
I've never raised money for a short before. Is that difficult? And like, I know you don't need the funds you do for a feature film, but when you're making a short, you still have to find money for it and you still have to produce it and get it funded somehow, even if it's you using your own money or your credit card or whatever. How do you finance even a short film?
Right within your means is one of the biggest things that I can tell anybody. You know, if you're writing this big sci-fi epic and you have $45 to put towards the film, you're not going to be able to make the film you want.
Right.
So early on, it really is just kind of focusing on very, not small stories, but intimate stories where you can, you know, keep down on locations, one or two actors and really sink their teeth into a singular moment rather than stretch it out over the course of time. That saves you a lot of money there, but it is difficult to raise the money. I mean, it's not an investment that's going to make people their money back. A lot of film investors are looking at what ROI they can get and am I going to, you know, get points in the back end. Short films don't make money. They cost money. Right. So, you know, you can crowdfund. That's it's a golden goose. It's hard to make that work. But if you have a subject matter that people are very invested in and very, very passionate about, you might be able to get some people to donate that way. But a lot of times it's, like I said, that we have a collaborative community here. And I think that just means a lot of times people are kind of working on favors. You know, I'm happy to come grip for you if you'd like to come shoot my short, or I'll do sound on this if you'd like to do posts for me on this. And there's a lot of trading work and a lot of collaboration, and that's how you get it done to start and how you get people to believe in you. And once people believe in you, then the sky's the limit.
And it's so great too when people do want to help and just want to hold a boom mic, even though they've directed their own film, just because they want to be on a movie set and they want to be around that energy. It's so much fun. You talked about crowdsourcing. And I know you have a new film that you're working on too, about a woman living with dementia called 5 More Minutes. Tell us about that a little bit. Where is that at in the production stages?
So we're really early in production right now, locking in the key team members and the film is cast. So that film, hopefully we're going to launch that crowdfunding campaign coming up in January.
Okay.
So once we have things a little bit more ironed out, we'll get that out there for everybody to see. But that film, it's about the mind and memories of a woman living with dementia. So it's inspired by my grandfather. He's been living with dementia for nearly a decade now. And my daughter, my stepdaughter, Sophia, she didn't come into the picture till he was about 2 years into that memory loss type, you know, dementia. We're not entirely sure what to label what he has, but he's never really fully understood who she is, but they've formed this really strong bond regardless. And I think that's such a beautiful thing that she has no blood relation to this man and he has zero clue who she is, but they light up when they see each other. And over the years, he's gotten progressively worse. He's in a long-term care home now. And the last time we went to see him, it was rough. It was a hard visit and he didn't look great. And he has these episodes where he almost, you know, shuts down. His body kind of slumps over a little bit and like he's recharging his battery almost. And Soph noticed that and we got in the car and she's kind of quiet. And finally she asked me, you know, why is he doing that? And then where do you think he goes when that happens? And I'm like,
yeah,
what a profound question from a 9-year-old, right? I mean,
Let's pick it up right there. We got to do a quick thing here. I'm talking to Cole Sheldon, Sheboygan-based filmmaker. And let's pick it up right where we were there, Cole. We'll be right back. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. He's talking loud, but I don't see at all. I gotta get away,
gotta get away. I don't know where to go. This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Attention. If you suffer from consistent pain in your joints caused by arthritis, overuse, or injury, you may be a candidate for a revolutionary therapy that could revitalize damaged tissue. This approach can provide long-lasting relief from pain in your knees, shoulders, hips, and other joints with no surgery, no drugs, and no downtime. To find out if you're a viable candidate, you may request a free consultation from QC Kinetics by calling 608-384-0897. Instead of masking the symptoms, it goes to the root of the problem to resolve it at its source. Already used by thousands of satisfied patients nationwide, this joint pain therapy is available right now to the public, but only for qualified candidates. Again, to find out if you're a viable candidate for this therapy, you may request a free consultation by calling QC Kinetics at 608-384-0897. That's 608-384-0897.
This is Chad Spate for Chad's Design Build. We're proud to employ some of the best carpenters and remodeling professionals in our industry. Are you honest and hardworking? Do you love to improve people's lives by improving their homes? Chad's Design Build offers excellent compensation and benefits focused on outstanding customer service, professional design, construction management, and craftsmanship, all in a nurturing, positive workplace. Whether you're thinking about remodeling your home or considering joining our team, go to chadsdesignbuild.com to learn more.
Have you heard? Compass is coming to Madison. What's that? Only the number one real estate brokerage in the country with cutting-edge marketing and global reach. Only one thing can make it better. The Aaron Weber Group. Well, it just got better. Still the same Aaron Weber Group, the guys you already know and trust, only now True North partners with Compass. With the Aaron Weber Group, you always had a guide. Now with Compass, you'll never miss a turn. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by Compass at movetomadison.com.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Get up, Paul. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue, I'm thinking just
of... We are back. Great to have you with me on this Friday night edition of Nightlight as we head into one of the coolest weekends, in my opinion, of the entire year. Short week coming up. A great holiday and Thanksgiving. We all have so much to be thankful for. Sometimes we don't even realize it. And it's great to be surrounded. And those of you who are lonely, reach out to somebody. This is a time of year to be with people if you can swing it. So hopefully we can keep you company here for another hour or so as we head into the weekend. Cole Sheldon, a local filmmaker, is my guest right now. Cole, you were in the middle of talking about your stepdaughter and your father.
My grandfather.
Your grandfather. Okay, so please pick up where you were. That was a really cool story.
So yeah, she had asked me kind of when he has these spouts or these episodes with his dementia where he kind of shuts down completely, where he goes, you know, where is he? And I thought that was a really phenomenal question and one I didn't have the answer to in the moment. I had to think on it, and I was washing the dishes one day just randomly, and it hit me like, what if he just has this perfect day that he can fall back on? Like inside of him, there's this one memory that he can fall into and he's safe and he's okay. Right.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And, I thought that was a really comforting thought for Sophia. You know, I didn't want to just tell her, well, you know, there's probably nothing going on in grandpa's head and his body's catching up to, you know, his brain is tired. And then the more I thought about it, the more I kind of internalized it for me, and it was really comforting for me too. And then I realized that there's probably millions of other people who are caring for someone with dementia or love somebody who's living with dementia, who need that little pick me up, who need that little spark of joy, not a spark of hope. You know, you don't want to give people false hope and say they're going to be able to come back from this, because the reality is they aren't. But right. To have the thought in your head that there is a place that they can go eat their favorite meal and, you know, maybe play with their friends on a summer day and spend some time with their mom who they haven't seen in decades. It's a nice thought. So then I turned that into a script. At first I wanted it to be just for Soph. And then I realized I have to tell the story. So it's the story of this young girl who goes through this day, and throughout the day, she starts to realize that she can't be there. And there's hints dropped from her mom, and there's some fantasy elements to it that are really, they hark back to those films that inspired me, you know, the Hooks, the Flubbers, the Jumanjis, these fantastic 90s films that had that level of fantasy that blew me away when I was a kid. So there's a level of that. And then, you know, she finally gets to have this little tender moment with her mom and comes back to her much older self. And you see a moment of memory, and then you kind of see that memory start to fade. So you see the reality of the situation. And, you know, like I said, it was just something that was really comforting to me. And I realized that could probably help a lot of other people too.
That's great. Well, I wish you luck with the project. You'll have to keep us posted. What is your favorite part of the filmmaking process? Writing, directing, post, shooting? What really gets you charged?
I'm an on-set guy. I think that's when I have my most energy. So when we're out there actually creating, we're taking this blueprint that we built and we're building something, right? And that's the hardest part about this is, you know, if that's my favorite part, I'm doing that at most when I'm making short films 6 or 7 days a year. So you really cherish those moments when you're on set and you get to collaborate with these other artists and you get to kind of see everybody put their strengths out there and watch something come together that you've planned for so long. But I'm also, I just love the whole process. I love finding an idea and breaking that idea and finally getting it down to script. And the ones that are really, really tough that I have to drive around and listen to music that inspires me for weeks before I can even put pen to paper. And then finally something comes through. And then, you know, hitting export on a final really tough edit and seeing it up on the big screen at the end of the day, it's a very rewarding process. There's, it's weird cause it's not a tangible result, but it is something that you feel and you can see, but you can't touch it, right? There's no physical product. And you know, one of my favorite parts too is watching audience reactions. I've seen the film 1,000 times before it finally makes it to a theater. So I rarely actually watch the screen. I just love kind of looking around. I'll place myself in the back and I'll look for oohs and ahs, or I'll look for somebody kind of dabbing their eyes. I try to hit the tearjerkers as much as I can. So if I can get somebody pulling a Kleenex out, I know I've done my job well.
That's nice too, because you get so sick of watching it yourself and you start to question if you even have anything anymore. And then to see it with an audience is really, we have about a minute left, Cole, and I appreciate your time. This has been really fun. Do you have a favorite sports movie since you have a sports background? And are you looking forward to Glicked or Gladiator 2? Are you going to see either one of the films on the big screen?
Miracle is definitely my favorite.
Oh yeah, movie.
Great
one.
Big hockey guy. That one, every February I watch it, and every February I cry.
That's great.
It's a beautiful film, and I'm stoked for Wicked. I can't wait. My wife is such a huge fan. We listen to the music all the time. Trying really hard not to listen to any of the music today. I want to see it in the theater for the first time, but everything I've heard, the spectacle of that movie, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome to see that in the theater.
I've heard that too, and I love the first Gladiator, but I kind of feel like I know what I'm going to see with Gladiator 2. I'm expecting to love it, but I'm with you. I can't wait to see Glicked. And Conrad, if you haven't seen Miracle, you got to add that to your list. It's a great film.
Absolutely, you do.
Cole, this has been fun. Thank you, buddy. It's great getting to know you, and don't be a stranger.
I won't. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, thanks, bud. Have a good one. Project. All right, that's Cole Sheldon. Check out. I should have asked him, like, Google Spark Plug and see if you can see it. I think I remember seeing that at the Wisconsin Film Festival, and I see a lot of short films when I'm there, but that is kind of sticking out in my head. So I would love to, if Cole wants to email us or message me where we can specifically see Spark Plug, I would be happy to share that with people. Conrad, how are we doing?
Doing great. Can't complain.
Time to wrap up.
What do you
are
mean?
Are we done?
We still got another hour.
Oh, we do. Okay, my bad. All right. We are coming right back after award-winning news here at Civic Media. Text us your favorite teacher, folks, and why, and we will read it on the radio. Lisa Hale is coming up next.
I found myself owning her at least 10 times a day. You know, it's so unusual for me to carry on this way. I tell you, I can't sleep at night.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, John and Gordy will attempt to not cry over the dismantling of democracy.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Listen to the John and Gordy Show weekdays right here on WMDX, sponsored by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's East and West Side or online at verlo.com. This is Gordy with John and Gordy in the Morning on 92.7 WMDX. When you text into our show or any WMDX program, know that our text line is sponsored by Rocket Industrial. Package with less. Visit rocketindustrial.com and we'll be watching out for your text.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.